Good morning and welcome, everyone. My name is Kim Robinson, and I'm glad to see everybody here on this snowy Remembrance Sunday. This morning's worship service will be conducted by Ruth
Pendinga.
Today we honor every Canadian who has served and sacrificed so that we may live free. We fall silent to acknowledge a debt that we can never repay. We remember. I'd like to welcome the members of the Legion who are joining us this morning as we commemorate the sacrifices made in times of war. You will also see in your bulletin the list of all of the people who are on the two plaques on the walls. Please look over it and remember any family members or just people who sacrificed for us. As usual, we are still collecting for the Kids Community Kitchen. This month, we are looking for individual packages of hot or cold cereal. The collection date will be December 7th. As you've seen, the baskets are in the back. The draw for them is available for tickets. The draw will be on November 30th. Now, tomorrow, the Seaway Valley UCW Area November Gathering is being hosted here at Knox St. Paul's from 9:30 to 2. The program is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. Lunch is $15 and sign-up sheets are at the back. Then on the 12th, there is a road trip to the Ottawa UCW Fall Rally at Rideau Park United Church. Again, lunch is $15. If you are interested, please see Kim to see about getting a ride. Next Saturday is our Craft and Art Winter Wonderland. We have the two full floors of vendors offering a variety of unique items. As always, for this fundraiser to be a success, we need your help. We're looking for items for the bake and deli table. If you're able to put up flyers, we need people to help set up tables upstairs and down on Friday and Saturday. We're also looking for people to guide and assist vendors when they arrive. Now for the wider community, one quick thing. Next Saturday is the Santa Claus Parade. We are officially registered, so we will have our float and we will have some walkers and we'll do, it's just to put our toes in the water and see what it's like, but we will be participating in the event. For the wider community, Advent Eventide at St. Andrew's United Church in Martintown on November 30th. For more information, see the poster at the back. Masters in the Hall, Celtic Music for Christmas Time on Sunday, December 7th at St. John's Presbyterian. And as always, everyone in the choir almost is selling tickets for the Centennial Choir. It is Christmas time around the world, and that will be Friday, December 12th at 7 at Altsville Hall. Again, if you're interested, talk to pretty much anybody in the choir. There's six of us selling tickets, so there's plenty to go around. Thank you.
Welcome, one and all. For those of you here in person and those of you joining us online, today is the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost and the day where we mark Remembrance Day, as Kim mentioned. Just so you know, if you're new here today, those things that you see on the screen that are in all capitals, that's for everyone to say together, all right? And the things in lowercase are for me to say. And just before we begin, we welcome the ladies again from the Legion who will be laying the wreath for the big wreath here in the middle, but we also have another wreath being laid by the children. So we have an exciting day ahead. And now let's do our recognition of territory. As we gather on this Remembrance Day, we pause to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of Indigenous peoples who have cared for this land for countless generations. We honor their deep connection to Earth and their continued presence among us today. In this time of remembrance, we recognize not only those lost in times of war, but also the resilience of Indigenous communities who have served in Canada's armed forces, often without recognition or justice. As settlers, we commit ourselves to the ongoing journey of truth, reconciliation, and peace, in the spirit of right relations and shared hope for the future. Let us work to make the promise and the challenge of truth and reconciliation real in our communities. Now we'll proceed with our act of remembrance. March on the colors. Deposit the colors. Color party retire. And now we'll have the laying of the wreaths. You're welcome to look through the names in your bulletin as I read the recognition of the memorial roll. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. You can be seated. Today we remember. We remember the names we know and the names we never learned. We remember the dreams that died too young. We remember the calls for peace still waiting to be answered. We remember and we come, like builders before a ruined temple, unsure if the foundations will hold, uncertain if the splendor will return. We come here remembering that God brings life from the ashes, that through memory, God invites us to justice. We come like seekers with impossible questions, carrying what is lost, what is broken, what feels dead.
Yet we come because Christ is risen. God is not a God of the dead, but of the living.
We come like a community remembering its language, stirring old songs into new voices, trusting that that what once slept may live again.
We come to
build again, to sing again, to believe again. We are partners and participants in the work of God. Together we are committed to helping build a city where no one journeys alone. I invite us to pray. God of the living, God of now, God of our hopes and our dreams, God of remembrance and learning, temples and languages.
God of resurrection.
We endeavor to hear you speaking to us through your word and through your people today. You plant courage where despair has taken root. Help us to trust in your promise that what is broken can be healed. That what is silence can speak again. Building hope, living justice, and loving boldly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's join in our opening hymn together, For the Fruit of All Creation. And please stand if you are able.
Thank you.
confession. God of peace and justice, we speak words of peace, yet live with anger in our hearts. We enjoy the freedom others have fought for, yet we take it for granted. We say we long for justice, but turn away from those who suffer oppression, including the indigenous peoples of this land. Help us to live as people of peace, with courage to seek truth, with compassion to love our neighbor, and with faith to follow the path of Christ.
In your mercy, renew us.
Amen. Beloved friends, God remembers. Remembers God's people. Remembers God's promises. Remembers God's covenant. Even when we forget ourselves, God calls us by name again and again and again. We, God's people, are all beloved. God awakens what is sleeping in us. God reignites what has gone dim. God reminds us that the future is not closed. God remembers. We are beloved. So now we're going to sing the first part of Draw the Circle Wide, and then I invite the young at heart to come forward. And today we're actually going to sit out on the carpet about 6 feet away from the stairs here. We're going to let the wreath stand on its own, and we're just going to shift out that way. If you want to grab a chair, or a chair be grabbed for you if you're bringing up a baby, just come on up here, all right? Thanks. The chair's there if anybody needs it. Hello.
Hi.
Happy snow day.
Yeah.
How many of you know the very first word or words you spoke? We got Mama over here. This goes for everybody. Think back. And speak it out loud right now, just not as individually, but just speak it out loud. Or the first word of a child in your life that you know?
Light.
It's not a trick question, though. Don't you worry. I want to tell you a special story today. It's a real story, and it's happening and happened here in Canada, in British Columbia. Have you ever heard of a language going to sleep? That sounds a bit strange, perhaps. Languages don't snore and curl up and get into bed. But sometimes when people are told that they can't speak their language anymore, when they're punished for speaking it, when they lose books or songs or teachers, the language can be forgotten. And when that happens, people sometimes say the language is sleeping. Well, there's a group of people in British Columbia called the Qualicum First Nation, and they speak a language called Puntlatch. For a long time, no one in the world spoke Puntlatch anymore. But the people didn't forget it. They remembered some words, some stories. They looked in old notebooks. They found old recordings of elders. So together, starting about 7 years ago, they began to wake the language up. Word by word, song by song, sentence by sentence. The language that was once sleeping is waking up, and some people can speak some of the language again. Something beautiful and alive is reawakening in Puntlatch, coming back again. It's like the language is resurrecting, if you will. God loves to resurrect things. God doesn't forget people or languages. God loves to help people build again, learn again, love again. Even when something is broken or lost, at least for a time. So this week, remember the story of Puntlatch. And remember that with God, things can come back to life, even a sleeping language. Let's pray together. God, thank you for words and stories. Thank you for people who remember and rebuild. Help us to be part of bringing good things back to life, and help us always to trust in your love. Amen. So now we will sing the rest of Draw the Circle Wide together, and you can remain seated.
God of wisdom and compassion, as we prepare to hear your word, open our hearts to your truth. In this time of remembrance, help us to listen deeply, not only to the voices of Scripture, but to the voices of those who have lived through conflict and those still longing for peace. By your Spirit, speak to us in the reading and hearing of your word, so that we may be moved to live with courage, guided by your justice, grounded in your love. Our first focus lesson is entitled the future glory of the temple. Here, God speaks a word of encouragement to the people of Judah through the prophet Haggai. Even in the ruins of the temple, God reaffirms the covenant of God's unending presence and promises to rebuild the temple to its previous glory. It's Haggai chapter 1, verses 15b, 2 to 9. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, 'Who is left among you that saw the house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage. O Zerubbabel,' says the Lord, 'take courage. O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, take courage, all you people of the land,' says the Lord. 'Work, for I am with you,' says the Lord of hosts. 'According to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit abides among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake the nations, so that the treasure of all nations shall come, and I will fill the house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts." Our second focus lesson is Luke answering the Sadducees' questioning of the resurrection moves beyond their limited understanding of the resurrection as just another state of life that mirrors this age. In the resurrection, death is destroyed. Therefore, God is the God of the living and not of the dead. Our second focus lesson is Luke chapter 20, verses 27 to 38. Some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him and asked him a question. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless, then the second, and the third married her, and so in the same way all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her." Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush where he spoke to the Lord and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For him, all of them are alive." May our sacred story help us, as Knox St. Paul's United Church, to hear God's continuing call to us. "I'm setting you up in public ministry, so that my presence through you becomes known to all who journey alone."
Thank you, Kim. I invite us to pray. Creator God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be inspired by you. Amen. We're presented today with two different scriptures from different centuries, from different contexts, from different ends of the Bible, but they both deal with something precious that was lost, and the question of what comes after. In Luke, the Sadducees come to Jesus with a test. They don't believe in the resurrection. They think that if we follow the law and live a moral life, that's all there is. the future is a question mark. Or maybe nothing at all. So they construct a little riddle to trap Jesus. A woman marries seven brothers, one after another, each one dying without a child. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? They ask. Their aim is to discredit the whole idea of life beyond this one. But Jesus doesn't play their game. He doesn't argue the logic of their hypothetical. Instead, he lifts the conversation higher by saying, "The resurrection life is not bound by the rules of this world. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to God, all are alive." Meanwhile, in Haggai, we find the Jewish people return from exile. The temple, the heart of their faith, their identity, their community, has been destroyed in ruins, just like much of their hope. And now they're tasked with rebuilding it. God has tasked them with rebuilding it. They started laying the foundation, but they're discouraged. Why? Because this new temple looks pitiful. A pale imitation of Solomon's grand old house of wisdom. God asks the prophet to ask the remnant of the people of Judah, "Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing?" Oof, that hits hard. They remember the glory that was and now feel the shame of what is. But God does not stop there. God says, "Take courage, all you people of the land, for I am with you. I am with you. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former." So here we are, between the Sadducees and their skepticism, and the returned exiles with their shattered past. Both represent questions we ask today. Can what's been lost ever be restored? Does resurrection mean anything when the glory that once was seems out of reach? What does it mean to believe in the living God when much around us seems broken? The world around us, like the ruins of the temple, bears scars, such as cultural loss, language loss, environmental grief, absurd war, genocide, marginalization, greed unabashedly wielded as entitlement. And if you're paying attention, as we justice-minded Christians are called to do, it can feel overwhelming. Like the people of Haggai's day, we may ask, is it even worth rebuilding? Like the Sadducees, we may question if resurrection is just an idea, a wish, a myth. And this is precisely where resurrection enters. Not as escape, but as holy defiance. Holy defiance. Jesus says, "You do not understand the scriptures or the power of God. God is not bound by death, not by ruins, not bound by human limitations. To God, all are alive. And the glory to come will not be a copy of the past, but something new, living, radiant, beyond what we can imagine." So by way of example of all of this, I return to the story that I shared about the resurrection of the Puntlach language. This story isn't in scripture, but it's just as holy. For decades, Puntlach was considered extinct. Extinct since the early 40s, after its last known fluent speaker died. Colonial policies, residential schools, and forced assimilation had severed the generational threads so that no fluent Puntlach speakers remained. In an article I just read in the September-October edition of Broadview magazine, formerly the United Church Observer, I learned about the journey of the Puntlach language. And when I discovered that the lectionary reading was for today what it is, the scriptures in the article naturally came together for me. The article says, one night in 2017, Chief Michael Rakalma had a dream in which his ancestors told him, "You have to start working toward bringing back the Puntlach language because people think it's extinct. And we as people are still here. You're still here." Chief Rakalma knew he had to act and act soon. But how to begin? To revive an endangered language requires both immense effort and complex strategy, often relying heavily on elders' knowledge to create learning materials for younger generations. When no living speakers remain, as was the case with Puntlach, the language is considered to be asleep, and the task of reawakening it is exponentially more difficult, says the Broadview article. I was optimistically struck by the concept of the language being asleep. It sounds more hopeful than extinct. Puntlach was once spoken by as many as 6,000 First Peoples, and it didn't disappear overnight. Like other indigenous languages of the Pacific Northwest, its slow erosion can be traced back as far as the late 18th century when European explorers first arrived. With them, they brought a host of diseases to which indigenous people had no natural immunization. As such, an estimated 90% of Puntlach speakers died. The article goes on to point out that the assault on indigenous languages continues as a direct result of colonial policies enshrined in the Indian Act. Indian residential schools, which operated across Canada for more than 150 years and were run by the federal government and churches, play a major role in destroying Indigenous land, lives, culture, and language. For Indigenous peoples, awakening a dormant language is essential to the continuation of a unique identity and distinct worldview. Puntlach is a language of the land, says Jesse Rakalma, nephew of Chief Rakalma. There are four pillars of understanding who we are as Indigenous people. These pillars are land, language, people, and culture. None of these, land, language, people, and culture, can effectively exist for us if the other is missing. The loss of one affects the well-being of the other three. When you're missing one, you're missing a part of yourself, the article emphasizes. Long story short, in 2018, 7 years ago, Chief Rakalma worked on assembling the pieces to set a language revitalization project in motion. It was to be an enormous task. All those involved knew that to bring back the language held enormous healing potential for the community. At the same time, it would open up old wounds. The article talks about one of the Language Revitalization Project partners, Bill Rakalma, who's the older brother of Chief Rakalma, who, when a child, learned the language from a great uncle, but he'd never spoken it. Bill is what is known as a silent speaker. Bill held the language locked inside him for more than six decades. Bill's great uncle, who spoke to him in Puntlach, told him as a child, "Don't ever speak Puntlach out loud because you'll get hurt and be in trouble. It was difficult enough to live as an Indigenous person, says Bill Rakama. You didn't need to add language as another layer of reason for people to hurt you and give you a hard time. As the project continues today, with a small yet dedicated project team, the revitalization project still faces a long uphill journey to get to where Puntlach is thriving again. But in late 2023, the project reached a major milestone when the First Peoples Cultural Council and the province of British Columbia acknowledged Puntlach as the 35th living First Nation language in British Columbia. Slowly, like the foundation stones of the Second Temple, something began to rise. So in 2023, the province of British Columbia officially reclassified Puntlach as a living language. From 0 to 20 learners, from none to 2 semi-speakers, from silence to song. This is resurrection. Bill Rakama says of his 3-year-old grandson today, who's speaking words and phrases in Puntlach, it's pretty special. He's without fear, like I had as a child, and it's nice not having fear anymore. Remember when I asked you how many of us know what our first words were? Or remember the first words of a child in our life? Suddenly, the gravity of my question weighed alongside the Puntlach language story becomes more apparent, eh? Imagine not being able to use the words you learned as a child. Imagine. It's not a return to the former splendor of the language. The fluent elders are gone. The old language is not fully recoverable, but the new life is no less sacred. There's a section in a beautiful poem by William Wordsworth that makes me think of this story of the resurrection of Puntlach. Though nothing can bring back the hour of splendor in the grass, the glory of the flower, the glory in the flower, we will grieve not. Rather find strength in what remains behind. God says the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. And so it is. Not because it's grander, not because it's more polished, but because it's reborn through call, courage, memory, love, and divine presence. God is not God of the dead, but of the living. Jesus reminds us, to God all are alive. We do not need to deny the losses of the past. We hold them with honesty. Yet we do not stop there. Resurrection meets us in the fragments, not apart from them. The second temple was smaller than Solomon's, but God declared its glory greater. Puntlach may never sound exactly as it once did, but its new life speaks of community, resilience, and ancestral presence. Resurrection is not going back. It's about moving forward into new life. This applies to reconciliation, to justice, to creation care, to healing. It applies to the church too. What if we stopped longing for the church of the past and started believing in the glory to come? What if we let go of the old models and trust that God is doing a new thing? Resurrection is communal work. The revival of Puntlach didn't happen through one hero. It's community work, intergenerational, intentional, patient, and sacred. Resurrection in our lives is the same. We need each other. We need elders and youth. We need those who remember, those who dream. We need courage to lay stones and keep building, even when it looks small. Whether you are a language keeper, a justice seeker, a temple rebuilder, a weary worker in the field of reconciliation, God sees our labor. God is with us. God is not finished. We are not alone. Today, where we pause as a church to honor those who have served in times of war, it's a day of memory, yes, but Christian remembrance is never passive. It's never about nostalgia alone. It's a remember that calls us to live differently. We remember the past so that we might shape a future with more peace, more justice, more compassion. This is our resurrection calling. God is saying, there is more still to come. So today, let us also honor the peacemakers of today. Let us be temple builders. Let us be language restorers. Let us be resurrection people shaped by memory, grounded in justice, always open to God's unfolding glory. Thanks be to God. Amen. So now we'll ponder this perhaps as we sing our next hymn, In the Bulb There Is a Flower. So now it's time for faith sharing, where you have an opportunity, if you so wish, to come up and share something that struck you today or this week, where God is at work in your life, in the life of the community, in the world. And if no one has anything to share, we will sit in holy silence for a couple of minutes. So now let's stand as our offering is brought forward, remembering the generosity of spirit in giving in so many ways that this community is famous for. Gracious God, we offer these gifts so that the mission of ministry in your church might be sustained and strengthened, bringing hope and joy into the lives of our neighbors around the world and here at home. Amen. When we get to the prayer of Jesus, I invite you to begin with Our Father, if you so wish. Or you can try Our Father and Mother, Our Creator. It's up to you how you address God. Let's pray together. God of resurrection, remembrance, and reawakening, we pray for your church across nations, across traditions, across generations. Help us to be a people of hope, not clinging to past glories, but building new expressions of faith found in justice, mercy, and resurrection life. God of resurrection, remembrance, and reawakening, we pray for communities who have experienced loss, lives lost, culture loss, language loss, land loss. We lift up Indigenous communities across this land, and especially those working to reawaken language, story, and spirit. We celebrate the courage of the Qualicum people and the new life stirring in the Puntlatch language. God of resurrection, remembrance, and reawakening, we pray for our world where violence continues, where fear dominates, where poverty, displacement, and ecological destruction threaten life and threaten our beloved life-giving earth. Stir up your spirit among us. Let the shaking you promised in Haggai be a shaking that removes justice, injustice, and lifts up peace. Today also we pray for those who grieve, those who carry silent pain, and those caring for another. Remind us, God, that all are alive, that death does not have the final word, that you are near to the brokenhearted. We pray for our own community, this church, this circle of love. For those who are struggling, for those who are seeking, for those beginning again. Help us to be temple rebuilders and language learners, people of humble courage, bold insights, and steady faith. And now let's take a moment of silence to lift up those in our hearts, including our minister Aaron, for joys and concerns. Living God, we pray in the name of Christ, the risen one who walks with us still on this Remembrance Sunday, where we remember and honor those who served in times of war and those who are peacemakers. May we honor them all by building a world where peace is the way, where justice is the foundation, where the weapons of war are turned into tools of healing. Now, for all we are and all we can be, and all we will be, we pray to you, O God, God of resurrection, remembrance, and reawakening with humble hearts. And now let us share together the prayer that Jesus has taught us, saying, Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now our final hymn for the healing of the nations.
Thank you.
And now, as we go into the week ahead, we do not need to deny the losses of the past. We hold them with honesty, but we do not stop there. Let us be temple builders. Let us be language restorers. Let us be resurrection people shaped by memory, ground in justice, always open to God's unfolding glory. For a moment, retrieve colors.
To the left, quick march.